Taking the love girl. It's great to see all of you here today. So what to talk about? Why don't you decide? No. Bunnies, did I hear? I've been really meditating on this vision statement that we have at the center. If you've noticed the sign, it says that we are a center of love, and it is our dream, our aspiration, our goal to be love, share love, and serve love. And we make that our life's purpose and our life's work as a center, because I feel like that is really what is missing in the world right now, if there is anything missing. We teach that everything is perfect, but it seems sometimes that something is missing, and I think that missing ingredient is love. Love is the answer to all of our problems. Love is the answer to all of our challenges. And the delivery system for love is kindness. That's one of the reasons I'm bringing our friend Nipun Mehta here, who is such an expert on kindness. He's somebody that sort of was a software engineer moving up the corporate ladder, and he decided that he didn't want to do that anymore and decided to dedicate his life to being a permanent volunteer dedicated to the ministry of kindness. His whole ministry is about doing small acts of kindness and living the principles, living like the truth is true, trusting that the small acts of kindness have the capacity to change the world through the power of the ripple effect. And I brought him here probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago by accident. I was trying to get Wayne Dyer to come because I needed money. We needed some money, so we thought, you know, we were renovating a room downstairs for our 12-step meetings, and we tried to get Wayne Dyer to come, and I almost reeled him in. I almost had him, but he wanted a lot of money, and he wouldn't do it for less, so we gave up. And then the day that we gave up on Wayne Dyer, Nipun Mehta came. And I emailed him, actually. Somebody sent me one of his speeches, and I emailed him and asked him if he would come at Lonnie, our board president at the time's request. And it was such a miracle. It was such a miracle, because if Wayne Dyer had come, we wouldn't have this relationship with Nipun. It's been a 6-year ongoing relationship where he is particularly dedicated to our center. For some reason, he loves our center. Can you believe it? Maybe it has something to do with all of you. But he's very dedicated to our center and very devoted to me, too. He gave me the opportunity to go to India and do lots of different things that have really evolved the consciousness of the center and have moved us deeper into that place of kindness and trusting and knowing that loving kindness is the solution for everything. And so that's why this month, instead of having a featured book like we normally do, I'm featuring some of the talks that Nipun has given over the years. He speaks all over the world. You know, he knows President Obama, he knows the Dalai Lama, blah, 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 and he loves us, too. So it's great. Last week I spoke about the idea that there really are no small acts of kindness, that every act of kindness is powerful, and the small acts are even more powerful in a way because they are doable and they are sustainable. And I invited, as Peter said, to mimic this act of kindness that I experienced when I was up north and I served this gentleman some food at a restaurant that I was volunteering at, and the gentleman said, "It is an honor to be served by you." And I felt my eyes fill with tears, and then I started using that during the week, saying to people, either silently or out loud, "It is an honor to be served by you." This week, we're taking that a little bit deeper. Last week, we looked at the idea that that kindness can have this beautiful ripple effect. This week, we're looking at the idea that grace is all around us. We're growing in the priceless quality of being that we all already are, in the greatness that we are bound to. Ernest Holmes, our founder, said, "I will never again call myself poor or sick or lonely or weak," knowing that the I am is a sacred word, so he won't say those things about himself, because it is not true about the God presence in each of us. And even our flaws are part of the perfection, because perfection means inclusive of everything. So we are binding ourselves once again to that concept of inner greatness that looks an awful lot like humility and trusting and knowing that the divine pours through us as we express that which is priceless. There is something that is priceless about each of you. There is something that is priceless within each of you that longs to express. And you think about what is priceless in your life. You know, relationships, family, love. All of those things are priceless. And if you love something because it's priceless, then that is the thing that you are supposed to express. But how do you get started? You know, the whole world screams at us to look not at things that are priceless, but to look at things that are priceful, right? It screams, "You are not enough. You need to do more. You need to be more. You need to have more. How do you reconcile with that? How do you move into that place of claiming pricelessness, of living in the reality of grace? I think, again, this is not going to be a surprise, it's through small acts of kindness. You might have noticed that we have this beautiful display fashioned by Annette, our stylist, sitting in the back with dark glasses on, fanning herself. And also the beautiful flowers that were dedicated to Andrew Voth, who is a beloved church member who made his transition 2 years ago, right? 3 years ago. Wow. It's hard to imagine. But we have all of these things up here, and they're washcloths, and they're bars of soap. And I'm going to tell you why they're up there. So the person that this is about, I asked him if he wanted to remain anonymous, and he laughed at me because he talks about this topic all the time, and everybody who knows Norm knows that he is devoted to his service at an organization called Family to Family. Several of you serve there. Karen, his wife, serves there, and others of you serve there as well. And Family to Family, for those of you who don't know, is a project where people come together and serve a hot meal to our homeless brothers and sisters every single day. And so Norm told this story in one of the classes that we were taking. He said that some of the homeless folks had dirty hands, and they gave them these wipes to wipe their hands with. And unfortunately, a lot of them were using them and then flushing them down the toilet, and it cost a lot of money to get the toilet unclogged. So they took down the wipes, and the homeless people still had their dirty hands. So Norm brought this into class, a class where we were looking at opposites that seemed to be pressing up against each other and seeing if there was a reconciling factor. And as a class, we held that opposite together. People need clean hands, or we think they need clean hands, and yet there's clogs in the plumbing, right? We held those together and just waited to see if a solution could come through. And so when we did, we collectively came up with this idea of washcloths and soap. Each of these washcloths contains one or two bars of soap and a little washcloth. These won't be flushed down the toilet. They're given to people at Family to Family and beyond. When we have our homeless and brothers and sisters who are around here, we often will offer them a washcloth and a soap. And we had the class bring in these products for us to distribute, for Norm to distribute at Family to Family. Well, then what happened, it's a small act of kindness, right? A small act of kindness that we were doing, and Norm has, you know, beautiful stories about how well it was received. But then something else shifted as well. Norm did a lot of volunteer work for our center. We had this sort of crumbly sidewalk. Reverend Judy, where are you? We had this crumbly sidewalk that people were tripping on and struggling with, and Norm helped lay the concrete and make it new, and so it was beautiful. And then we have all this gardening going on around the church, too. The bunnies have their own private vegetable garden created by Norm. And there's a gardening in the ramp area as well, too, a beautiful garden there. So, you know, we were talking at the board level, and we were saying, Norm, do you want us to give you something? Can we say thank you in some way? Can we give you a gift certificate to your favorite store, which is probably some garden store, right? Like Green Thumb or something like that. But then we also had the idea that maybe Norm would like us to engage in a pay-it-forward project. And when I suggested that to him, what if we have the whole church bring in washcloths and soap as a pay-it-forward to our homeless brothers and sisters? Because Norm is passionate about our homeless brothers and sisters. Norm decided to accept that as a gift instead of the gift certificate to Green Thumb or wherever. And you see how powerful that is. You see how that is paying it forward. From Nipun's speech, Embrace the Grace, that I'm quoting from today, he says that our entire existence is indeed a gift. Scientists tell us that during the Big Bang, a finite supply of cobalt was generated. And were it not for this cobalt, human beings simply couldn't exist. From cobalt in our bodies, to the blood in our veins, to oxygen in our every breath, how can we ever pay back our debt of gratitude? We can't pay it back, but we surely can pay it forward. And that's what this is about. This is paying forward our debt of gratitude. You know, I was thinking that it would be really fun. I don't know if this will be a popular idea or not. I expressed it to someone and it wasn't too popular, but what if we could give a homeless person, a homeless brother and sister, a bag of soap for themselves and a bag of soap for them to share with somebody else? Wouldn't that be cool? So they could enjoy the process of giving it away, right? I think we have to be unattached to where our gifts go. So that's what we're doing with all of this stuff here, and we're gonna build this up, this pile of soap and washcloths up, with your help if you bring them in. And then when Nipun is here on the 29th, because it's something that he would really, really like, he always wants us to give a gift away past the walls of the church when he's here. We gave flowers the last time he was here. This time we're gonna give everybody who's here on the 29th bags of soap and washcloths for you to distribute amongst people that you see that might be in need. Okay, does that sound like a plan? Okay, good. So, and the reason for doing that again is not only because it's a right and beautiful thing to do, it is a small act of kindness that is simple, that is easy, that you can feel good after doing. Feel good when you buy the soap, you feel good when you buy the washcloths. They're really inexpensive at places like Big Lots and the dollar store. And it's just a way of shattering the illusion of separation. You know, if I give this bar of soap or this washcloth to somebody, we don't know where that can go. That can change somebody's life. That act of kindness can change somebody's life. So I'm going to have a center member. Do I see her anywhere, Pamela? There you are. She's going to come up and talk a little bit about the family-to-family experience of distributing the washcloths and the soap. Yay, Pamela. All right. Yay. Okay, you all right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay. So, anyway, Reverend Bonnie asked me to share this morning my experience with the bars of soap and weight and face cloths. And so how this experience began is Norm asked me if I would offer these Ziploc bags to patrons with another group of people who I serve with for family to family. And so I took all of Norm's huge bag, and then I added some others to it that I purchased from the Dollar Tree, which, as Reverend Bunny said, is awesome as far as buying things that are quality items that are totally inexpensive. You get 2 washcloths for $1. You know, it's just amazing, and they're name brand, so it's good. Anyway, so so on the day that I brought the washcloths in, I waited until our patrons had been seated with their lunches, and so then I went table to table with the bags and explained to them, you know, briefly why I was offering these to them, and you know, explain the plumbing problem, and many of whom already knew because we'd already talked to a lot of them before on another day. And anyway, the response that I received from the group was just so positive, and they were really interested in a way that was different from others might have been. I mean, they really, when I showed them what I had, they really closely examined them, and, you know, they'd ask for particular colors or size of soaps, and, you know, they really got excited about it, so it was just terrific. And so the feeling from that is really indescribable, because you get a warm feeling, and then that goes back to them, and they give that to you, and then that just ripples out, as Reverend Bonnie talks about so often. And as I was leaving, I was thinking about the Christmas story of the Grinch, mm-hmm. and how through the Christmas miracle that his heart grew 3 times the size, and that's really what it's about. You know, it's just indescribable, really. And anyway, I feel so blessed that I've been coming to this church now for 4 years, and there are just so many opportunities that we have to serve, and that is such a blessing, and I'm just very glad to be a part of that.
Thanks, Pam. Thank you. Thanks. I think I'm just going to I'm just going to ask you one of my questions that I was thinking of asking you. And I was curious, was there any resistance at all to approaching people and, you know, feeling of, I'm not sure if I want to do this, any type of resistance, doubt?
Well, since I had been part of this program for a while, I mean, when I first started the program, Family of Family, I was unsure because that wasn't a population I hung out with. And so I wasn't sure what our relationship was going to be. But then once in that situation, it's like a heart to heart. It's people are, they're so grateful. I mean, they're so grateful for everything that's given to them that, you know, you receive that vibration from them. And it's just very, very positive. And, you know, and I noticed from having that experience is that your heart just opens up to where as you become more aware and in the moment, you just see so many opportunities. It doesn't have to be family to family. That, you know, a smile to someone, a hello, a thank you, a donut.
Right, right.
It's just amazing the payback. It's just you know, you're getting so much more than what you're giving.
Yeah.
And so I'm just so grateful.
Thank you, Pam. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah. So, again, it sounds like a claiming of the priceless, a connection to the priceless, because if I ask Pam or anybody who's ever done any service work to put a price on it, it really is priceless. You cannot put a price tag on it. I want to go back, though, to that question that I asked her about her resistance, because, you know, she said, I wasn't resistant. I didn't have much doubt. Am I the only one who sometimes, when branching out and doing a new act of kindness that I've never done before, am I the only one who sometimes feels doubt and resistance and fear? I'm the only one? Really? Okay, somebody said yes. do you guys feel doubt and resistance and fear sometimes? Yeah. It can be a little bit intimidating, and that's, again, one of the reasons to do it. That's one of the reasons that I'm such an advocate for small acts of kindness, because it's a way of not only creating the ripples in the world that are unseen and that connect us to this larger picture of grace and this larger emanation of what is priceless, but it also connects us to our ego. And we get to see our ego, and that which is unhealed comes up to be revealed. And we can look at it and make new choices about it. So last week, as Peter mentioned, I asked people to tell people, if they've served you, like at Vaughn's or anyplace else, to say it's an honor being served by you, to really tap into that energy and recognize that it's an honor being served. And I'm not sure if anybody did it. I did it for a while, and then I completely forgot about it. Completely forgot. My mind was wiped clean. Peter said, we're going to do your kindness challenge. And I said, what is it? What was it? And then I remembered and I started doing it again. But I added something to it. And this one is super fun. Okay, so I was at Vaughn's the other day, the really, really hot day. The first day it was really hot, right? And I was in there and I was going out checking out my groceries, my ice. I was buying ice for the rabbits so they wouldn't get too hot. And I was thinking what a pleasure it was, what an honor it was to be served by the people. And I asked them, how are you doing? The person doing the checking and the person doing the bagging. And the checker said, oh, I'm doing great. And the bagging person said, oh, I don't know. And I left it at that. I wanted to say to her, can I do anything to help? But I didn't. Because that would have meant I had to connect to somebody. Would have meant that I had to come out of my little shell and actually connect with another human being at a heart level. And what if I said, can I do anything to help? And she wanted too much from me. What if, like, her house was messy and she wanted me to come over and clean her house? I can't even clean my house. I'm a terrible cleaner. Terrible cleaner. So I didn't. And I walked on by, and I thought about that all day, though. I thought about how my doubt and my fear had come up, and I had resisted the urge to be kind and to connect. And that was one of the things we learned in one of the classes that I was teaching, you know, that this impulse to be kind comes up and we often push it away because it feels too vulnerable and it feels too sensitive and it feels like it might involve too much or people might ask too much of us. And you know what that's about? Ooh, that is about control and approval. We want to control the situation. We want to be kind on our own terms and have the person actually like us when we're kind to them. This reminds me of my sister, my oldest sister, and I'm gonna talk smack about her, but she, I've said this to her face too. Some of you have heard my stories about my sister, but man, she is like really, really, really obsessive about food shopping. And you shop for olives with her, and it takes her 2 hours because she's examining every olive at the olive bars. As Lonnie has said in the past, how can there be a bad olive? All olives are beautiful. But my sister and I were in New York, and my nephew was getting married to his now husband, and we were going to cook dinner for, 80 people, a rehearsal dinner for 80 people, and we were going to go to New York Trader Joe's on the Upper West Side, and she kept saying this military term, that we're going to go in there, and I, when I think of this story, I always think of it as commando. We were going to go into Trader Joe's commando, but no, that's not what she said. We're not tool ladies, aren't running around Trader Joe's commando. She said, we're going to go, see, you're waiting for me to wake up, right? Okay, woohoo, getting used to the heat. So she said, we're going to go into Trader Joe's and we're going to make a surgical strike, okay? You're going to have your list, I'm going to have my list. And then, dang, on the way to Trader Joe's, there was this guy sitting in the street that clearly didn't have a home, and he had a sign that said, I'm hungry, and I had to face the wrath of Judy. I was like, about that surgical strike, I just need to put it off for a few seconds while I go buy this guy a sandwich, because I just had this strong, overwhelming impulse that I was supposed to buy this guy a sandwich. And then I was buying the sandwich, and I was thinking, oh, he's not going to like what I'm picking out for him. It's what I like. Maybe it's not what he likes. Maybe I didn't bring enough for everybody. You know, that thing that we go through, and I almost stopped myself, but I didn't. I got the sandwich, and I gave it to him. My sister was fine. The dinner turned out great. My nephews are happily married. Everything is cool. Everything is good. Everything is fine. But that's exactly what I did. I remember that when the woman in Vaughn's, it would have been so simple for me to say to her, can I help? But I didn't do it. So, because I thought of that story about my sweet sister Judy and her obsessive olive-picking techniques and all of this wonderful, wonderful mirage of her puzzle of being a human, I said, okay, I'm going to give myself a kindness challenge for Saturday, for yesterday. I'm going to ask three people, what can I do to make your day better? And all the fear came up. I hiked with my dogs. I didn't see anybody on the hike because it was 107 degrees. Dang it. But I went to this little store, you know, and actually I was going to go buy a chocolate chip cookie, as you know, I'm obsessed with that. And I almost didn't buy a chocolate chip cookie because I didn't want to have to ask the guy at the store, what can I do to make your day better? It's a good, you know, technique for cutting back on things we don't want, right? But anyway, I went in the store, and I'm like, no, you have to do it. You have to do it. So I asked this guy, who I know slightly, we talk a little bit, and I said, what can I do? I'm doing a kindness challenge at my church, and I want to ask you, is there anything that I can say or do to make your day better? And he goes, well, I have kind of a hangover. Can I help? But then, you know, what ended up happening is that he told me the story of his hangover. He told me he was celebrating this landmark in his grown-up daughter's life, and I connected with him. And that is a permanent connection that we will have. Now when I go into that store, I'll say, how's your daughter? How's your hangover? What's going on? You know? I tried it with another woman who just said, can you please pray for it to be cool? And I'm like, absolutely, I'm so on that. And then the best one, it was too hot to think about what I was going to say today in my house, so I went to Starbucks to sit in the air conditioning and work on my computer and get something cold to drink. And I went up to the counter, and again, you know, I had already helped, done it with two people. I'd promised myself three. I'd helped a lot of people. I came here in the hot, and I took care of the bunnies, and I brought them in to meet a congregant, and you know, like I said, the one that I brought in is still mad at me. I sacrificed my reputation with the bunnies. But I got to the counter, and I said, no, just do it, just do it. And I asked the guy behind the counter, I'm doing a kindness challenge at my church. Is there anything I can do or say that will make your day better? And he said, he really thought about it, and he said, actually, there is. I really want someone to believe in me. I really want someone to tell me you can do it. And I asked him what he's trying to do, and he's engaged in this program of study that's quite profound. I'm not going to talk about it until it's complete, because I said to him, this is a perfect fit for you. It's something involving helping other people. And I said, I so believe in you. And I absolutely know you can do it. This is for you. And his whole face lit up. And like Pamela said, when I left that encounter, I had felt the connection, I had felt the love, I had felt that priceless thing. You know, it cost $3.45 to get a big glass of iced tea in Starbucks, but it was worth so much more than that. That moment was worth so much more than that. It was priceless. And then I start thinking of other things I can do to help him, you know, or to help other people. It's contagious. It starts growing, and who knows what effect that had on him. You know, and this position that he's trying to get of that's reaching out and helping people in a very significant and profound way. So you know where this is going, right? I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. Yay! Just go up to strangers, or you can go up to your friends too if you want, and say, I'm doing a kindness challenge at my church. Is there anything I can do or say that will help make your day be better? And see what happens. What really happens is that it transforms us from the inside out. And then we start to lead from that place of inner transformation. And if enough people do this, you know, the 100 monkey theory, if enough of us start washing our vegetables, start transforming from the inside out and leading from a place of inspiration and leading from a place of kindness and leading from a place of humility and leading from a place of service, if enough of us start doing that, then the whole world changes.
Amen.
Amen, right? Yeah. The whole world becomes kind. And that's the vision that I hold for us here in our center of love, where we aspire to be love, share love, and serve love. I'm going to close with a quote from Nipun that I think is really beautiful. It's from his speech, Embrace the Grace. And by the way, if you're on our newsletter list, you'll get the link to the speech, the whole thing. And he wrote, this is at a graduation address that he did in the Philippines. He wrote, recently I was walking down the street and found a $5 bill. It made me think about my relationship to something I hadn't exactly earned. It so happened, though, that same day, a young person emailed me and asked, what advice would you give to your 16-year-old self? I wrote this paragraph in response. And this is for all of you, whether you're 16 or almost 60 like me, or anywhere in between or older, anywhere. You will be taught to work hard, to drive your destiny, to make something of your precious life. That's valuable. But don't forget that underneath the waves of your effort lie the indefinable laws of the ocean. Listen carefully, because these laws won't be as loud as the commercials on TV. They will instead whisper with the poetry of serendipity. That $5 bill you find on the streets, don't ignore it just because you haven't earned it. Respect it. When reverence becomes the crucible for the subtlest accidents of life, grace will be the sunshine that will wake you up every morning. Grace isn't deserved or undeserved, understandable or mysterious, pain or pleasure. It simply is. And it is aligned with the laws of nature. May you live a life of grace. And from me, may you be rich in reality, because you already are. Let's turn within and let us pray. And so I turn within and absolutely trust to know that there is